You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
The Road to Guantanamo opened in Vancouver last weekend. The film, by directors Michael Winterbottom and Matt Whitecross, looks inside the notorious U.S. military prison in Cuba through the actual experiences of three British detainees. The young men from Tipton were captured in Afghanistan in 2001 by the Northern Alliance, turned over to the U.S. military, and were finally released without ever being charged from Guantanamo in 2004. Derek O'Keefe is a Vancouver writer and anti-war activist, and he's joined me now in the studio to talk about the film. Good morning, Derek.
Morning.
So can you give us some background on the men and why they went to Afghanistan back in October of 2001?
Well, the three men had they had actually gone with a fourth friend to Pakistan and for a wedding. And these were 19, 20-year-old guys, and the film depicts them fairly, I think, as a little typical of their age, and they got caught up in the impending, the sort of hysteria around the impending bombing of Afghanistan, because it's now September, October 2001 when they make their trip. And they end up going along with some guys into Afghanistan with the aim of doing some humanitarian work or helping out in some way. Needless to say, they actually, I think the first place they go is Kandahar, which we know today is the site of so much violence, and it was at the time as well. So they quickly become captives of the Northern Alliance forces, and from the Northern Alliance custody, they're actually fairly lucky to survive, and one of them doesn't. One of them is lost. Their fourth friend is never has never been accounted for. He was lost during this sort of handover from the Northern Alliance to the U.S., or trying to escape that. And they quickly end up as U.S. captives. And as we know, like many captured in Afghanistan, they are then subsequently taken to Guantanamo.
Now, are these guys that grew up in Britain?
They had grown up in Britain, yes. They're very British, which I think for a Western or North American audience makes it all the more jarring. They're speaking with a proper British accent, and they're very British, but they're of course they're also Muslims, which is the whole reason that they're detained and the whole reason that they endure what they endured at Guantanamo.
So how does the film relate their experiences then?
The film uses an interesting format, a challenging format, I would say a risky format by the filmmakers they managed to pull off. It's a docudrama, so they're interweaving the format of a documentary, which in this case consists of basically of interviews with the three men last year, I believe, when they finally released from Guantanamo. So, and as they relate their experiences in the documentary format, the filmmakers insert long segments of dramatizations of what they endured at Guantanamo. So that's the drama part of the film, because, of course, there isn't a lot of documentary footage available of the torture techniques going on inside Guantanamo. So it makes for a very... like I say, they're sort of going out on a limb, but they manage to pull it off because the dramatization is believable. It coincides with what the guys are saying, the guys in real life said about their experiences.
And then do they use actors for those dramatization bits, or how's that all done?
Yes, yeah, it's done with actors, and they found three very charismatic actors, I think, to play the roles. And yeah, it's not an easy thing to sit through at times, of course, because what they're depicting in Guantanamo is just routine beatings, starvation of the prisoners. They're, of course, kept, as we know now, we have seen the photos, they're kept in these outdoor cages, not allowed to move, not allowed to talk, taken in for these sort of surreal interrogations that they receive that include, you know, having their head covered and dogs barking at them. There's all the things, actually, all of the things that we saw, the world first saw with the Abu Ghraib prison scandal were being done at Guantanamo much earlier. And so all of this is dramatized and depicted. And like I say, it can be hard to watch at times, but the filmmakers... it's a film very much worth seeing and very important for people to see.
Did the film also use clips from media at all? How does it use those?
Yeah, there are some media clips. There's less than I expected. The trailer shows, if you go to the Road to Guantanamo Movie.com, their website, they have a very effective trailer that shows two of the best ones. It's you know, George Bush talking about how these people at Guantanamo don't share our values, they're killers, and they have the famous clip of Rumsfeld, who of course self-satire all the time, but he has this famous quote saying he's certain that the Geneva Conventions are being followed at Guantanamo for the most part. And he slips in those last four words with such lack of humanity, such like callousness that he slips in the "for the most part." It sort of speaks to what Rumsfeld knew was going on and what, of course, Rumsfeld himself was ordering as part of a systematic policy of torture as part of their war on terror.
And now this stylistic bringing together of these elements in the docudrama format, was that effective for you?
Yeah, it was. I would have liked to see more of the documentary style, more of what those, just the three guys speaking about their experiences, because it's very, in a sense, that's the inspiration that you take from the film, is that these three young men were not broken. Afterwards, one of them is saying, near the end of the film, is saying, look, you either let an experience like this kill you, or it makes you stronger. And they've been very, very, it would have been easy for these three men just to spend the rest of their lives recovering from this and, not wanting to be in the spotlight, not wanting to be in the media. But my understanding is the Tipton Three, as they're known, they've become very active campaigners against the use of torture, and very articulate and passionate. And, it's not easy to talk about something that has happened to yourself like that. But the fact that they have emerged from it able to do that, I think, allows you to leave the film with some sense of inspiration and some sense of, rather than just despair at what's gone on.
Now, you've mentioned like the Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo abuses have been quite well documented. Did that, knowing that stuff, it's out in the public world, did it prepare you for the way in which the film portrayed those things going on?
Yeah, I think so. I think the world has sort of been prepared for what's in this film because we've all seen the pictures from Abu Ghraib. So, yeah you're kind of just seeing those pictures played out. It's still horrifying, obviously.
What about the U.S. government? Have they tried to deny any of this stuff?
Well, it's not because of the movie, but there's been a whole series of things, and they're starting to at least semantically change their policy, which we can never trust the U.S. government in those terms. But they've said that they do believe that the prisoners should be treated with Geneva, within the Geneva Conventions. This is a reaction to the U.N. They're not admitting it's a reaction to the U.N. Declaration last month to close down Guantanamo. But more importantly, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled against the military tribunals they were using at Guantanamo. So it's very convoluted. The U.S. government is tweaking this and saying, yes, we believe the Geneva Conventions should be followed, but we've been following them all along. And so there's no indication that they plan to close down the facility at Guantanamo. And I think for people around the world who are, more and more people are campaigning against the base and the use of torture at Guantanamo, I just found out this morning that today is an international day of protest, according to a group in London against the Guantanamo. There's demonstrations today in the U.S., London, Australia, Kuwait, and Bahrain against Guantanamo. And the demand that this group calling this demonstration today clearly spells out is for the permanent closure of Guantanamo Bay as a prison facility. And I would go further and say you have to close the whole base. They have no legitimacy to have that base in Cuba. And one of the interesting things I recently stumbled across, actually reading a book about Haiti by Paul Farmer, is the fact that in the 1990s, the Haitian refugees fleeing the coup in Haiti were detained at Guantanamo. And for a couple of years, as long as 2 years, they detained several hundred HIV-positive Haitian refugees. And their testimonies actually sound a bit like the Tipton Three. If you'll indulge me, if I could read the testimony of one Haitian refugee at Guantanamo, she describes very quickly, "We were cordoned off with barbed wire. Wherever they put you, you were meant to stay right there. There was no place to move. The latrines were brimming over. Rats crawled over us at night." So I know Gore Vidal says the United States is the United States of amnesia, and I think we can all suffer from that if we only focus on the most recent outrages and don't look at the whole history of what happens when you have a foreign military base that you use as a place to detain people, and these abuses have always gone on.
That's quite extraordinary. Now, in the film, does it show, were there any sympathetic portrayals of military guards or any sort of moments of compassion come up?
Yeah, there are kernels of humanity, and I think that's fair to insert into the film. And one thing it does is makes it a little more bearable for the audience, inserting these moments. But I think it also gives a more rounded picture of things. Even within this system of torture, there will be moments of humanity from the U.S. Guards. The one memorable one is a scene where we've just witnessed they've been in the cages for weeks and not allowed to talk, not allowed to move. And then a large spider, a tarantula, gets into one of the cages of one of these guys and he starts screaming. Mm-hmm. So the guard just instinctively, instead of telling the guy to shut up or beating him up for yelling and running around, he goes into the guy's cage and kills the spider for him. And the guy's sort of like, wow, thanks. And then the guard's gone. And it's about a 30-second clip in the film, but it's a nice moment.
A little bit of humanity showing through there. Yeah. Now, you were mentioning the UN, the Supreme Court ruling and stuff about closing down the base. What do you think it'll actually take to actually close down this base? Like, what can we do towards that to support that campaign?
Well, we actually had a little on July 6th when Harper went down to visit Bush. We had a little impromptu rally at the U.S. consulate demanding that Canada speak up about closing Guantanamo Bay. So I think that's part of it. Especially here in Canada, we're one of very few governments now that are openly aligning themselves with the Bush administration and the war on terror. So we have a pretty simple job, I think, in Canada, which is saying to the Harper government, you have to join or support this UN call to close down Guantanamo. As far as I can see, the Foreign Affairs, Peter McKay, nobody said anything about any of these UN or Supreme Court rulings on Guantanamo. And certainly Harper didn't bring it up when he went down for Bush's 60th birthday, to say the least. So, yeah, I mean, for us in Canada, it's pretty clear. In the States, they obviously have a bigger challenge because what do you do, right? They'll have a hard time finding a Democratic contender or a candidate who will be willing to take a stand on Guantanamo. So I think they just have a big challenge of raising this issue. And it's becoming more, I think, integral part of the anti-war movement in the United States is to make a clear demand to close Guantanamo.
Do you think that's an answer, is to integrate it with other anti-war efforts?
I think so, yeah. I think maybe for too long we haven't taken on the issue of torture directly as part of the anti-war movement. There's so many occupations and now the looming war in the Middle East, and there's a lot to keep everyone busy and there's a lot of urgent issues. But part of this the whole war on terror, torture is part of the whole basis of the war on terror. So that is sort of a timeless campaign we should have been working on, I think, more vigorously. And it's also something that people across the political spectrum, one would hope, would agree with. Even for us in Canada, maybe there are some people who aren't sure whether Canada should have troops in Afghanistan. I think that they should be withdrawn immediately, but people who aren't sure about that will be sure that they don't want Canada being complicit in torture. And so we have to get those people involved and in that way.
Well, thanks very much for coming in and talking with me about that this morning.
Okay, thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking with Vancouver writer and activist Derek O'Keefe. This is Red Eye on Co-op Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.